We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody. We're live. We are live. This is Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim, for some late night hoops after game two of the WNBA Finals, where the Aces, Gabe, came out of the gates swinging for the fences and knocking in home run after home run. I mean, my God, it was 19-2 to start that bad boy off.
Yeah, so we just got the game just ended. We were
as we got on.
Sydney Colson was dribbling out the final 20 seconds. Final score 104-76.
Dang.
These two teams have not played close games throughout the season, so mm-hmm. I guess it's not that surprising, but I don't know. I mean, it is. That was something different from the Aces tonight. I mean, I think, you know, it's really hard to even say, like, wow, this person was so good, and this person was so good. They were all so good, and like you mentioned, take it back to the beginning, that 19-2 run, where, you know, there was some ebbs and flows in the game, and New York had some fight. But like that 19-2 run to start the game really set the tone for what was going to happen throughout. And it was energy, execution, effort from Vegas that was just so far beyond what New York had to offer. And that's not a criticism of New York. I just was so impressed by that from Las Vegas that they were able to bring all of that energy and focus it into winning this game, because they know if they win this game going up 2-0, I mean, it looks really good for winning a series. So I'm just really impressed. Let's talk a little bit about that 19-2 run. What did you see during that like first opening salvo?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, first of all, can we talk about the 2 points first, okay? It was the defense. The 19 points was beautiful basketball.
Yes.
It was beautiful hoops. Okay, let's not downplay that aspect of it, but let's upplay the aspect of the lockdown defense that was on full display by the Aces. I mean, they were smothering and suffocating. They were blowing up actions. They were making the proper reads, going over top of screens, staying locked there. And I thought it was just great. They were up the line and they controlled the boards during that stretch. The way New York got back into it later was the glass work, right? And then the Vegas Aces got back on track on the glass. And then guess what? The lead blew up again because of their glass work. But it was the defense and that 19-2 run that made the difference to how this game was going to be played. And the ebbs and flows and the roller coaster of it all. And New York cut it to 6 at one point. So, you know, they were coming back. Yeah. But you just had a feeling that the momentum set up during that stretch was going to be a precipice to what was going to happen later in the game.
I think the word you use that I really like is suffocating.
Yeah.
That's what the defense was. It was suffocating, you know.
Anything.
You know, there's a couple of football analogies thrown out there by Ryan Rucco in this game. Yeah. So I just want to, use one more. Like, just like that was, that defense is the kind of defense mm-hmm. you see when you like go back and watch the old Miami Hurricanes from the early 2000s.
Oh, there we go.
You see a bunch of people, you know, gang doing whatever. Mm-hmm. We're gang tackling. We are gang attacking the gap. You know, we're doing everything in a pair, you know, and that's what defense is all about. And I think when you have that sort of communication, that sort of intuitive knowledge that if I do this, they're going to do this. And then that chain doesn't break and you can have more confidence in being able to pressure, being able to dig, being able to have help. And, you know, I think where they really showed up was in post defense.
Yes.
Where you see like Kelsey Plum and Jackie Young. Kelsey was really impressive in this. The way she dug down on Jonquel mainly. Posting up, dug down on the dribble, and like she really timed it well. So it wasn't always like on the first dribble, it was like, okay, on the second dribble, when she like takes a dribble and then she turns, I'm gonna go then. And they had that really timed out well. They really, really practiced that.
They did.
To get Jonquel into positions where, you know, she could try to get the ball over her head, but she, you know, there's a lot of hands there, and then she was in tie up, so there's some jump balls. So
yeah,
that was the first place where I thought the defense was outstanding, especially from the guards, that post digging. And then you mentioned that the rebounding, when they're cooking and when this team's cooking, and we mentioned this in our preview, I've talked about it a few times, like you have to win the offensive rebounding battle. Becky Hammon mentioned it as well. Mm-hmm. Like you saw the Aces have a player on Jonquel, have her on my back. And still struggling, but have her on my back, usually Kia Stokes, and two more players coming in from the wings to get on her too.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get the ball. And it was just like that sort of effort and energy. That's what we're talking about. And that showed up, everything we just said showed up in that first, you know, big salvo. And I agree with you that defense was just the most impressive part. Because even then, the Aces started to miss shots later in the first quarter as the game went on. And the defense just never waned, and then later in the game, I think in the second half, it was a lot more about their offense. But in that first half, where they set the tone, where they got that lead, mm-hmm. that defense was outstanding.
It was. I mean, they clamped down, and it was amazing. And I just thought, like you said, the timing of the dig downs, and what mm-hmm. post players want most is space and freedom, mm-hmm. and they want to have individual coverage, right? So they're not going to give that to Jonquel Jones down there. And they didn't give it to Lainey either. They doubled down when Lainey got the ball. They clogged her space. She couldn't get her feet turned to square and get to the rack. She did what she could do. But I thought Jonquel Jones really turned it up for New York. And, you know, I was reading some of the social media. I was kind of heavy on social tonight just because I was just kind of joining the conversation with all the fans tonight. But I think with what Jonquel was able to do, she was able to dial it up on the glass like we were talking about. But I also thought that she dialed it up on defense too. She had some monster blocks of her own. So those stops that New York got because of Jonquel down inside, that got them back into the game as well. So I think they just needed some help for her. And I think we saw that too. Stewie couldn't get going, and Vandersloot was struggling to get shots to fall, and they just didn't have another player to support Jonquel Jones and her effort on both sides. Like, they needed defense too. They needed like a complete overhaul of help. And they were simply attacking Sabrina Ionescu, like every opportunity, they were setting her in actions just about every single possession, right? And getting downhill on her. And she was either fouling or giving it up to the next line who fouled, or they were getting straight to the rim. So I just thought that, you know, they dissected themselves on the defensive end, the Aces did. They did what they wanted to do on that side, but they also selected and pinpointed the point of attack on the offensive end, and they benefited from it by exploiting New York and getting them into full rotation where they just couldn't move faster than the basketball. And that's what you want. That's why you move the ball like that, so you can get them in rotation and then have issues with cross matches and such.
And for on the Vegas side of things, before we get into the more depressing New York side of things, because it's not looking good, folks. It's not looking good. But just to your point though, just that movement in the Vegas offense. And I think, you know, it's very difficult to single out people in this game. The player you can always single out though in the playoffs for the Aces, or when she was with the Sparks, for the Sparks, is Chelsea Gray, right? I mean,
this was Chelsea Gray.
It was
this.
Okay, the one where she looked away. You know what I'm talking about. Everyone who watches the game in the comments, you guys know what I'm talking about. She looks away and then she passes it in such a way that, like, I'm not sure. Okay, I don't want to be I'm not sure Asia saw the ball.
Yeah, I think Asia was burning.
She was trying to get someone off her, and then she put her hand out, and the ball was there.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
oh, the ball. Oh, let me take that up. And scored it. I don't know how she caught it. I said it out loud, audibly, when the game was going. I was like, how did she catch that? Like, she wasn't even aware, you know. It was in her face. Oh, the ball's right here. Oh, here. Let me just go ahead and shoot it.
I've seen this once before. This is actually where Ryan Rico made his football analogy to Greg.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, in football, though, like, one time a guy was, like, looking away, and the ball just, like, landed in his hands, and it caught the game-winning touchdown. Like, he was, like, looking away, and that's kind of how it felt. And it was such a big – that was a big play. I mean, I know the Aces had already built up that lead, and, you know, the plays kind of, you know, meld together. But that was a big play to get in that third quarter to get him going. And then just her shooting, her – knowledge of the game, her just like, she never misses an open cutter.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more we can say about Chelsea Gray in the playoffs. She only had 11 points. Like,
but she had, what, 10 assists though?
Yeah.
Right? Was it 10? I don't know if she got one after, because we were setting up.
11 assists.
11. So I missed one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I messed up. She had more points too. Well, because I stopped looking. Yeah, you're right. I should look at that. She had 14 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds.
Well, almost messed around and got one. Almost messed around and got that triple double. Well, wow, those 11 assists. But all of them were just, like, ridiculous. Like, I think at least of the 11, how many were no-lookers, right? Probably 4 or 5.
A few of them.
Easy, Pete. Like, easy. The one, you know, Stokes was hitting her threes. You know, she was getting to the basket. I don't know. I mean, Chelsea Gray is just – I mean, she's one of one when it comes to execution, right? And – for me, this was like the social media post of the evening from Tisha Pintero. I don't know if you saw that.
I can try to find it.
Somebody, yeah, look it up, because somebody said, hey, man, I don't know. She's right up there with Tisha Pintero. And Tisha came back and said, she can have it. No, she's the one. And I'm like, Tish, like, if you don't know who Tisha Pintero is, you didn't see her play, go ahead and YouTube that too. I mean,
after you're not listening to this podcast,
I after that, tomorrow or sometime, not at the moment. But
if you don't know who she is, you're just not listening to this podcast. So,
yeah, I mean,
how'd you start here?
Right. No, but she is like that. Like, Tisha is like the point guard. Like, she was, like, in her time in the WNBA, won a title with the Sacramento Monarchs, right? Played with the Sparks, you know. But she was an amazing magician with the basketball. They call her Magic Johnson with the ball, and they kind of use that same analogy with Chelsea Gray, just because of the way that she sets up her teammates in a fanciful way, the no-look passes. But they're always on point. They're always right where they need to be, her passing ability. So for Tisha to say
– look, you could see the
– there we go. Look at you, Gabe, all technical.
All tech. Look, yeah, baby. That.
She's better, no doubt. She can have that crown. Wow. I was like, wow. That's that, you know, that's like Kareem handing the ball to LeBron. Like, that's like one of those, that's a big moment. They need to make a big deal about that. That's a huge moment for a player like Tisha to go ahead and say, no, she can have that. That's such a high level of respect. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
She's
I think she's
gonna be in the Naismith too. So.
Well, and the other thing, you know, I was listening to who was it? It's Kobe. It's a clip of Kobe, talking about how, like, you know, you can't really compare people because everyone builds on it, right? So, like, if there's a Tisha, like, there's no Chelsea Gray, because Chelsea Gray, like, yeah, I remember I think this is what Chelsea Gray does better than anyone else.
Yeah.
Is she does those no look, fancy, flashy passes efficiently. It's about the offense.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying like, hey, look, I like a no look pass. I like a behind the back pass. Right. If you can do it, if you can get away with it, I'm never going to be mad about it.
If you connect it, you got to connect it.
Don't get a turnover now, but if you can make the pass, make the pass. But I think for Chelsea, she's really mastered the art of doing this for efficiency's sake and why we're and like doing it so we can get the advantage offensively rather than just doing it so it looks cool.
No,
it also happens to look cool and makes these amazing highlights. But I just think she does that so well. So I'm my point is there's no Chelsea without Tisha, because if Tisha doesn't show you, hey, you can do this. You know, and same with Magic Johnson. It's a whole line of point guards that we can go through in this very long podcast. But like, you know, there's no Chelsea without Tisha. So I think that's pretty cool. I don't like saying someone's better or whatever. It's like, hey, maybe you had a better career. I like a better career but I don't like better player, because if Tisha was playing now, she would have all the knowledge of Tisha from then, right?
Right. I mean, it's all about eras, and that's why, you know, and ego as well. No one's ever going to say, I mean, that's why I was like, wow, Tish said that. And not that she has a big ego. I'm saying, like, when you're an athlete, like, you always go on the floor thinking that you're pretty good, right? Why would you go out there thinking anything less than about yourself? Then you're not going to perform. You put the work in, you have the confidence because of your work ethic. So you're going to go out there and feel like that, right? So to be able to hand the crown over like Tish did with Chelsea, I think that was really a beautiful moment tonight. And I hope they blow it up. I hope they blow that up. I just think that it was so massive. So Tish, if you're listening, sometimes she says she listens to us, but Tish, if you're listening, that was pretty major, my love. That was pretty great.
I wonder if she's up now. It's 11:24 on the East Coast.
She's a worldwide traveler, so
that's true. She could be anywhere.
She might be at the game, but she might be anywhere else.
She's definitely at the game.
She's global, man.
She's definitely at the game. Why would she not be at the game? This game looked awesome. I'd love to be in Vegas for it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I want to see the Sphere. You know, something that was maybe the most amazing part of this game.
What was that?
Kia Stokes.
Thank you.
Kia Strokes them threes. She pulled up.
Bam.
And what's up to everyone in the comments? We should say what's up. We got Chiquita here. We got Adrian. We got Dano. Dano says, I'm broken, Christy.
Said what?
I'm broken because he is a Liberty supporter. He also may or may not have placed several wagers related to it. It's fine. He'll be fine.
You'll be all right, Dano.
But Dano's in here. We'll talk to Dano a little later. We got Phoenix in here. We got JC. What's up, everybody? How you guys doing?
Hey,
how you guys doing? But what was I saying? What was I just saying?
No, you were saying that it was the
Kia Strokes.
Kia Strokes show.
Kia Strokes. The like threes.
Catching out.
Because she.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's sometimes where like, hey, a player who gets who doesn't shoot that often, like they'll make one, right? But it don't look good, and you're like, they kind of like
a little football situation, like
shot clock running down, like he, you know, those kind of
And
sometimes they'll go in,
yeah.
We're just. She got that. She was like, bam, I'm hitting this.
Yeah,
she thought she visualized it. She went boom. Twice,
yeah.
She clanked the third one, and she was like, "All right, I'm done."
Yeah,
but she hit the first two, and they were big. They were big time. I feel like that was honestly those two shots, because the one of them came at the beginning of the second quarter, which like kind of like made, you know, kind of elongated Vegas's lead, and then the first one was like kind of felt like that possession was falling apart.
Yeah,
kind of felt like New York was going to finally get a stop. It's like, hey, we got a shot that we want. Like, Kia, you shoot that. They kind of like very short closed down on her.
Yeah.
And she said, And boom.
Yeah.
Kia Stokes. Yeah. Everyone contributing to this win for Las Vegas.
Insanely well. And when you have Kia Stokes, who, you know, she doesn't get a lot of opportunity to take a high volume number of shots per game. But the fact that, you know, she found her niche early and knocked in those stretch threes out there for the Aces. I thought it was really great to see. And the fact that she was smiling too. I mean, the comfortability of the entire team was in place all game, whether they were roaring after an and one, whether Jackie Young, who put the jacket on and sat on the floor and was like swelling up. I was like, is that Jackie Young sitting on the floor and swelling up and put the jacket on? I was like, okay, this is a different level of comfort for this team, whether it's seeing Stokes knocking in the three and smiling on the way back, or Jackie Young getting, you know, three and ones in the third quarter alone, right? And then swelling up on that one in particular, you know, tough buckets that she had down in that restricted area. I don't know. I just thought that the entire team mentally was doing exactly what they wanted to do. Even when New York cut that lead to six or whatever, I still felt that Las Vegas was in control of the game momentum-wise and mentally. And I think New York knew that too. For whatever reason, you know, Stewie couldn't get going. What was she, 4-11 or something like that? Salute to Chi and Mark. I know she was 0-5 at one point from the floor. Yeah. She just wasn't able to get a bucket, man. I was like, God, they just can't find anyone to go to. And Lainey, while she was hitting early, I don't think she got her rhythm either on the offensive end. But then you have to credit the defense by the Aces for, you know, taking them out of what they wanted to do and rushing shots and taking away opportunities that New York wanted to have.
We could move over to the New York side of things. I'll get you the final line, because it does look like Courtney got some buckets at the end. She just ended up 3-9. 9 points.
Wow.
9 points on 1-4 from three. Okay. She had 4 assists, 2 turnovers. But she struggled too defensively in a lot of different ways, not as much as Sabrina did, and we could talk about Sabrina. But I thought Courtney struggled at times. I also thought the 3-9 is a little worse than maybe it was, because at some point she just stopped shooting. Yeah. I can remember like two distinct times where the game necessarily was not out of reach and she just kind of passed up a three. Yeah. And that to me is like the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
Because you got to keep shooting. I'm laughing because I just remember the Dion Waiters. One of my favorite quotes ever in basketball. I tell all my players this. Dion Waiters once said that I'd rather go 0-20 than 0-7, because if I go 0-7, that means I lost my confidence and I stopped shooting.
I like that.
It's a bit, go 0-20, kids. Well, I'm a fool.
Yeah. Yeah. What did John Starks go 0-17 or something like that back in the day?
Yeah, that's the finals though.
Yeah, or 1-17, something. But 17, though, he kept firing that sucker. He's like, that thing. Look,
17's about the line. Like, over 18, I'm like, okay, over 18, you're out. You got to sit, dude.
Chill up. Yeah. You're killing us.
Someone needs to protect you from yourself. But she wasn't that. But she got to keep shooting. She got to keep shooting. And, I mean, not that it helped that everyone else on the team could not score. You know, you look at their final shooting lines as a team, they shot 36% from the field. 8-35 from three, about 23% from three there.
Yikes.
And then their offensive rebounding was pretty good, but not as good as their advantage was in that second quarter, so it didn't make up for it. You can chalk it up to bad three-point shooting, but I think it's much more about this defense. Rushing those shots, those closeouts were very good coming from the Aces defense. You just miss some more shots than you make.
Yeah.
And then you start kind of rushing. And I thought there was just a lot of possessions where either, the Liberty would have a good offensive possession, miss a shot,
right?
No rebound, because they're always looking for that second chance opportunity. Yeah. Didn't get it. And that would affect them on the defensive end. I thought that happened a lot in that first quarter, and especially in the third quarter and fourth quarter as the Aces pulled away. So I thought there's half court offense just really stagnated because no one could make shots. You look at Stewie, she was 6-17, 14 points. Lainey, 4-15, 12 points.
That's
the only, and Sabrina's 2-10.
2-10. And they didn't mention that a whole lot. I remember the other stats of people, but I didn't I don't know if I was watching pretty intently, but then the last little bit I didn't see, you know, the last 2 minutes or so. But
I mentioned it in my notes. I wrote, "Where's Stewie? Where's Sabrina?" Because Stewie had a rough night because she's playing against really, really good players. She has Asia Wilson on her all the time. However, I think she could still be a little bit more, you know how I always want to talk about LeBron. You know how they talk about LeBron, and it's not true, but then also it's like it's a little true that we need you to just kind of be like, "I'm taking it," and she knows that. I think she knows that.
Yeah,
I
think she knows.
But Sabrina, to me, I mean, it's a little scary, these struggles. And what'd you see from her tonight and how she can kind of move forward and get better?
Yeah, I think it was tough entirely for New York to get the threes that they had in game one in the first half, where they made eight. They made eight threes in the first half alone, and they made eight for the entire game in game two. Okay, so they didn't make any threes in the second half. In game one, which is why Las Vegas came back and won after being down by three or four at halftime. So the three-point component and the percentage of their offensive production that comes from three is probably pretty high, right? I know they were top in the league. They were top two, I believe, in the league with their three-point shooting, just from remembering stats within the six games. But I just think that Las Vegas, knowing that, and also knowing what damage they did in the first half of game one, that is something that is on the top of their list to take away clean looks. Like if they're going to take threes, they're going to be heavily contested, right? Make them attack closeouts, and then we'll send them to the second line of defense. So I think Las Vegas did a really good job of staying locked over top, especially on Sabrina. She didn't get loose, like right over half court. Sometimes, you know, her range is crazy. So, you know, she wasn't able to get any transition looks. And again, going back to the board work, when they did get a couple of threes to go, it was because they were getting glass and the stops that they needed on the defensive end. So when they didn't get stops, so they were taking it out of the net, you know, those opportunities for three go way down because you're not getting the fast break looks. You're not getting the kick aheads in your transition game. You're not getting spread to the corner. And finding Sabrina on a pass, you know, a push pass up the floor. So I think Las Vegas did a really good job of containing New York, but also taking away the opportunities for New York to take clean and easy threes. Okay. And that, my friends, is the key. Okay. It's not so much of what they did in the quarter court, which was fantastic, but it was also, they didn't let them get in a flow. All right. They didn't let them get glasswork and push. Yeah. They weren't turning the ball over a ton for them to get easy runouts for, you know, paint threes. And I think I heard them say on the broadcast tonight, like usually Sandy Brondello wants paint to great. And Rebecca, I think
they were
getting paint to mediocre. And I was like, yeah, that's what was going on. You know, they were forcing them to take tough shots and, you know, percentages tell the truth on that. And they did a good job of being disruptive and physical and not allowing easy opportunities from three in particular.
To your point, you were right on the stat. You want to take a stab at how many points from three the New York Liberty get? They are ranked first in the league in that stat. Do you want to take a stab at the number? Percentage of points from three.
Percentage of points. Let me see if I can remember. I think it was close to 30. Was it 28?
It's over 30. It's over 30.
38.
37. 37.3. So maybe it changed. Maybe it changed from when you saw it.
Yeah, but no, I knew it was a high percentage. Yeah,
they also shoot 37% from 3A in general. The 3-point percentage. So that's maybe the best in the WNBA.
Yeah.
So that was your stat. So was,
see, oh, solid, back me up.
I think one more thing that helped Vegas defensively was they're changing up their schemes. I think they threw in some different looks. They threw in some zone looks after made baskets. Mm-hmm. I think they communicated very well. They did a good job of keeping their bigs to closer to the basket and just making sure that,
hey, if we'll close out to the three because we know you want to get here and you're going to waste a lot of time trying to get here. And then your closeout, if the shot clock's dwindling down, your closeout becomes a lot easier because now you're not, you're just trying to close space. You don't need to close time. You don't need to worry about the drive, right? You just need to close the space and get a hand up without fouling.
Exactly.
Because you don't need to worry about them getting past you and taking a pull up because there's no time for that. So it becomes a lot, there's a lot more pressure too, I think, on the shooter when the clock's rolling down. You're like,
oh yeah, it's a grenade. Shoot. Pulled pin out.
You got tossed in it. And so I think that led to a lot more missed threes tonight for New York. And they have not been shooting that well
in
these playoffs. And I just, do you want to talk about them getting back into this series? I mean, I think we have, we got a lot of people who really want the Liberty to get back in it. Dano's going through it. We're not going to post Dano's comments.
Oh, Dano. Okay. Oh, woo-woo.
Well, we could post the one saying I'm going through it.
Oh, he's going through it. Everybody's going through something, Henry. You know, everybody's.
JC says, I think the Libs will take game three. They'll be all right. Let's see. Who else has an opinion on where we're going on this game?
Yeah. Put them up there, Gabe.
I'm looking. Everyone, I appreciate everyone coming back. We haven't done a live in a little while.
Oh, love, love, love. Look at y'all up in here on courtside with us. No, it's big. Let's find another one. What do you have?
Well, Becky and her crush said, Chiquita, what's up? Chiquita. I think the Liberty may get the win at home for game three at least. Okay. But if we get to game four, if they get game four, we got a series, right?
Gotta get one, man. They gotta get three to get to four, though, baby.
Let's talk about game three first.
Let's talk about game three, man. Because
for New York, and I want to talk about one more thing, but we can talk about it. Game three. I mean, like, other than make your threes, which is always good advice if you're a basketball team. Just try and make your shots. Try and make more than the other team.
Yeah.
Other than that, what can New York do to win game three and keep the series alive?
I mean, this sounds, it might not be the right thing or the proper thing, but it's something different.
They need anything.
Yeah, I know. So for me, I don't even know. Like if I am Sandy Brondello, I don't know if I would kind of tinker with the matchups a little bit. I think that they could be a little more creative with that, because what happens when you stay with something like that, that's a locomotive. If you're the Aces, they're like, oh, we figured this out. Because Gray, her basketball acumen through the roof. So she's going to see and survey, and this is how they're playing us. These are our matchups. So we're going to serve that. And they did it all game. And I don't think there were many adjustments to matchups. And I'm not talking about schemes. I'm talking about, you know, where people were placed defensively for New York. So for me, maybe throw an extra body at Gray and make her give the ball up. And then get in full rotation. But that's, I know, but not every possession, but maybe just sometimes, because sometimes all you need is maybe just one turnover off of that, get a blitz and then rotate. And I know that, you know, the speed on the perimeter for New York is a little tougher, right? When you have a Jackie Young and a Plum and Gray to contend with. I know, but
I don't like the idea of making Chelsea Gray like
just force
like, her. I don't want to give her like, hey, there's someone that's open. Chelsea, figure it out. It's like, she got to figure it out.
And she's 6'1", and she has great vision, and she's probably seen blitzing, obviously. But you can't go in doing the same thing, is all I'm saying.
Yes.
It can't be for the entire game. Like, you're going to have to mix some coverages up, you know, how you play Asia. She was killing in the middie. God. And that up and under, I was screaming my head off on the up and under, because that was such an old school, like, just sell it and go, baby. And I thought that was such a great move by Asia. But the mid-range, I mean, you saw what Las Vegas was doing to Jonquil. maybe flip that and do a little digging down and rotating out of the dig downs and try to crowd the space of Asia Wilson, who was just phenomenal tonight. But I think they're going to have to do something tactically different on the defensive side. And it doesn't, again, it doesn't have to be every single possession, but maybe after this timeout, we're blitzing Gray. Okay. When Wilson gets it in the mid range, we gotta double down on that. We gotta shade her area and force her to give it up. And then everyone else has to be on full awareness mode and rotate out of that and scramble and cover. So they're just, I mean, their backs are against the wall. You're going to have to do it, right, to survive. So you tell somebody who has competitive juice that this is what we have, we must do this. And then you might see a change, but I don't know. But it might be a close game, but those one or two times you blitz and get a turnover off of it, a live ball or a dead ball. But if you turn them over and take possessions away from them because of different coverages, maybe that can get you a win in game three and extend the series. But if you go in doing the same thing, I don't know if that's going to be okay, especially if you're not marking from three. I mean, that's going to be a tough recipe for success. If you're not hitting your threes and you're not, you know, mixing things up defensively, you got to show something different and you got to mix up your matchups. Yeah.
Well, I think there's also space, you know, I think that, you know, trapping's good when you can, you gotta use a very gingerly. I would actually like to see, you know, and they put her on a ton of ball screens, but a little bit trapping maybe on Kelsey Plum.
Yeah.
But then she's very difficult to trap as well. But, you know, yeah, I agree peppering that in there. I would say maybe a focus more on just getting those shots to the mid range if you're in a ball screen, just like softer hedge.
Okay.
You know, have it kind of meet a little bit lower so they're more, they have, you know, more of the lane to the mid range rather than an easy roll or an easy three.
Shallow.
But I think the biggest thing that stood out to me was how the pace was going for Las Vegas. I thought that pace really, really, really set the tone for them and helped them, you know, push away because they're just able to get the game moving so fast. And New York is also a team that likes to move fast. They really do. And they can, and they're very effective at scoring in transition.
Right.
You know, just Las Vegas a little bit better. And Las Vegas have more missed shots to work with. They have more opportunities to get out on the break. It wasn't even just the break. It was like, everything was just fast. And then like boom, for Las Vegas to be fast, boom, we get an easy bucket. New York, it was fast, we get a bad shot, clank off the rim, we don't get the rebound. Then it was really just in Las Vegas's favor. And when they did come back in that second quarter, those offensive rebounds really helped slow down the game. And I think that's huge. That's just huge. They need to win offensive rebounding. We've already said it a few times.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it again. They need to win that stat by a lot.
But that's imperative. They must. Huge. Yeah.
Huge. But I'm just like, I think that they have to get the pace under control. Mm-hmm. That's a huge one for me. It's such a silly thing to say. You guys got to play better defense. You got to say it's game three of the WNBA finals. If we lose, we are done. I need to make as many multiple efforts at a time as possible. I have to do as many things as possible. I have to not get face cut. I mean, I don't want to single out Sabrina too much, but like Sabrina got face cut.
She did.
Easily by Jackie Young. And it was like, come on. And there was another miscommunication between her and Marie. And it's like, y'all got to get your stuff together, man. Like, you know, come on. I get it. They're very good basketball players, but you got to know what you're doing. And they just felt like they didn't have that.
And
they didn't have the right mentality either. So, but yeah, that just has to be there. I mean, that's point number two, is like, you just got to play better defense. You have to take a lot more pride in it.
Yes. And I think, you know, that going back to Sabrina and Jackie matchup, Sabrina Ionescu and Jackie Young, I mean, the first two dribbles, she's gone. Yeah. Like, if you can't guard two dribbles, you're in trouble, right? You must be able to guard two dribbles as a perimeter player. Like, and if they get past your shoulder, you're in trouble. Now you're in full rotation and short distance to the rack. Like, you can't allow Las Vegas to put that type of offensive pressure on you and get downhill like that and finish and with contact. And I'm speaking of the third quarter alone with Jackie Young getting those three and ones. You know, all to the rack, all to the cup, and she got tagged. And one was the help side. Johannes came over there. Johannes came over there and tagged. I don't know. It just looked like it was, you know, the help was too late. The one time Stewie came over, she was too late to help and rotate. But, I mean, the ball gets put on the ground. That one dribble, you've got to be on your toes and ready to shift and move. That second dribble comes, and you're not square. You're going to get blown by. And Jackie can feel like that one was so, they put it in slow-mo, too. It was so poetic. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, my God, it's right over the rim. It didn't even hit the glass. And she got hit. I don't know. It was just, you know, it was calculated, number one. And that was their point of attack on the offensive side for the Aces, for sure. But if you're in New York, like you said, you got to take more pride in your defense. And, you know, those first two dribbles by Las Vegas, you got to be able to contain them. Mm-hmm. You must do that to keep your playoff hopes alive, man. Your finals hopes alive. Championship goals alive. Like, you got to buckle down and lock in and, you know, like, again, just have that want to. It's a want to at this point. And it's not even about whatever defense you put out there, zone, man, dunk it up, whatever. Lock in and play and compete.
And that's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to compete when you're getting smacked 19-2 as soon as the whistle blows.
Yeah.
No, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's really tough. It's really tough when you're sitting there saying, what, when the entire first quarter, you're saying, like, what the hell just happened?
That's like, what I was saying, sitting here.
And credit to New York for coming back in that second quarter, because it was, they looked dead. They were dead because the level that Las Vegas brought
could
not be matched. Maybe if New York could have played better and still lost, just for the record.
I mean, to be honest, the way they were shooting, what did they shoot, 70% in the first half, the Aces?
Yeah, some crazy. I'm not sure exactly. I don't think I have it.
We're not even talking. Yeah, we say that, and it's like, oh, Asia Wilson was shooting 70. No, the entire squad was shooting 70% in the first half alone, man.
Let me see.
Ridiculous. After the first quarter, I think.
Yeah.
And they had 38 points, which was a W.
They were 14-20 in the first quarter.
Who does that? That's ridiculous. And now, you know, you're talking about the defensive pressure. You know, where was that from New York? Like, coming out of the gates, you're on the road, you need to steal one before going home. It would have been a lot easier for you, you know, if you had gotten a split in Vegas and then go back to Barclays and try to, you know, get two at home. You know, but now here we are.
Back to gotta get two at home.
Gotta get both of those, baby. Yeah. It's going to be interesting, to say the least, so.
So, and what's the other thing I want to say here? Sorry, I just noticed this. 12 assists on 14 made baskets in the first quarter for the Aces. It was just, I mean, like, it just, I mean, obviously the Aces were playing great, but it was also kind of easy. So, I mean, like, yeah, they just have to get have to play better defense. They have to lock in, in terms of, you know, their communication. Really, that's the biggest thing there. And then offensively, I mean, you need shots to fall, like we mentioned. You need shots to fall. That's always true.
Right.
I don't know how much you can rely on getting offensive boards at this point when the other team is getting out in the break so much and
not missing.
you know, kind of pushing you and you know, taking that physical edge away, kind of becomes hard to rely on those offensive rebounds. Becomes easier at home.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think Breanna Stewart, do it. Hey, why don't we clear out the floor and let the two players with the MVP trophies run a pick and roll?
How about that?
That's, I don't know. I mean, like, you know,
that sounds,
these
like
things come to me. my brilliant brat. I'm sure Sandy has tried this, and it may not work. Maybe she'll try. Maybe she'll put it in. Maybe she put it in and I just didn't notice in this game because it didn't gain an advantage. That's always possible. But I'd like to see it a little bit more. Maybe there's like more of an action there just to get some more things going downhill. And I think Lainey could have the ball a little bit more.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind seeing Lainey initiate from the top.
Yeah.
Rather than Sabrina, not because Sabrina just plays a different game.
Right.
There's a very slashing mentality that Banaja Lainey really would like to put her at the top of the key and get her going downhill.
I like that.
I don't. I mean, maybe there's more time for Marin Johannes, although it becomes really dicey with the defense.
Yeah.
Really, Courtney Vandersloot also just has to be aggressive too, and we've seen her be aggressive, and she's done this in the finals before, so I think she can do it again.
Yeah.
And they have a shot. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine them getting
swept.
I mean, I guess I can't imagine.
We said the S word. Is he mad? We said swept, but.
Dano.
No, hey, I hope not. I told you I wanted this to go five. I wanted it to be, you know, some desperation hoops. I wanted to see some drama, whatever. So we'll see if that happens. I mean,
I was at game three of the finals last year.
Huh? See?
I just remembered that.
See?
I forgot which game it was. Dano says, don't say the S word.
Oh, see. My bad. Look, they're
right. Basketball Society says, they could absolutely get swept. Because they could absolutely get swept.
Yeah.
But last year, this is why I was looking at it.
Yeah.
Last year, they used to take a 2-0 lead. They come to the Mohegan Sun and depressed by the scenery. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, Connecticut. Really, the rest of Connecticut's
you
nice.
Say that every time.
The rest of Connecticut's nice.
Hey, the Mohegan Sun Arena and all the restaurants there is really fun. And Unkin Spell
closes at 11, which I don't know if you know this, but that's before the WNBA finals is going to conclude.
I guess so. Yeah.
So Mohegan Sun, I just agree. Whatever. Good job, Connecticut. Well, it was a great home. It was a great home environment because the Aces just got smoked. It was 103, 104, 73. So that could happen. But then in last year's finals, if you recall, they did win in game four.
Right.
So I don't know. When was I don't think anyone's ever come back from a 2-0 deficit.
In the finals?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think anyone's ever done it, period, in a best of five and
WNBA. 2-0. Yeah, I'm just thinking just the most recent series. I don't think that's happened, but I haven't, you know, dug way back. But I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of fire and intentionality New York plays with. Intentionality.
I said intentionality. That's a great word.
But yeah, you know. But I think they're going to have that. And I think when you heard Sandy Brongello in that huddle, I think there was like 6 or 7 minutes left in the fourth. And Vegas probably scored 3 or 4 times in a row unanswered and stretched the lead even further out. And she called that timeout and they went in the huddle and you could hear her say, like, we have to keep fighting. Like, it wasn't even, she didn't even have the board. Do you understand me? Yeah. So at this point, she was like, it's not even about the score. It's about playing hard. It's about being intentional, right? It's about fighting with pride, play with pride and all of that. So, you know, I don't think she's going to have to say that for game three, because that should be a common denominator for all the players to come with level of competitive juice and fire and that passion to win with your back against the wall. But the fact that she said that then, that was to me a concern. And I know the score is what it is, and you're a human being, so it's hard to look up there, you know, and feel like you have a chance to win. But sometimes it's not about, obviously at that point, it's not about the score, but it is about how you're playing, right? It's about how you're playing and your body language and your fight. Like, are you diving on a loose ball? You're just like, man, we're down. I'm not getting on the floor for that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference there. So you're going to take that level of fight into the next game. So I think that's why she called that timeout. And that's why she didn't have the whiteboard. And that's why she was talking to their character at that point. She was talking to their character at that point to, you know, to get them ready for game three. And they must have that. That's a must have. Pack that in the bag with your shoes and everything else and get ready to fight. You got to go for it. You got to go.
If I was Sandy in this scenario, I wouldn't have a clipboard because I would have already broken it. with a shout out. So I don't know if that happened to Sandy.
They don't break. Maybe. I was told. So.
Oh, they break.
I was told they.
I would stress test one. There would be an experiment as to how.
A couple times, but.
They're going to be experiments to how durable that thing is, because they're going to get a workout. Let's one more topic here on the finals. Do you want to make a prediction about what's going to happen in game three? So I just looked it up. I could not find a WNBA finals series in which the team pushed it to five games after losing the first two. Mm-hmm. I thought it happened in the 2019 series, but apparently I'm misremembering the Connecticut won game two.
Yeah. And it went five.
Yeah. I thought Connecticut had lost the first two games.
Oh, and then won the second two.
But no, that's not how it worked.
No. I guess, you know what, I'm in my bold chapter. So I'm gonna do it. I've been very good.
Yeah, you have been. You've been very bold.
A little different. I like it. Stepping outside my comfort levels here. But I think I am going to go ahead and say it. And even if I take a loss on this, I'm fine. I just don't think the Las Vegas Aces are gonna take a loss in game three, and I think they're gonna win the whole thing.
Bring the brooms out, Christy. Sweet.
That's gonna be it, I think. I mean, I just think that that's gonna be it. And I know New York is a tough place to play. And Queen Latifah, she said she was wearing her Liberty gear, and she just gave somebody else a hug when she saw somebody walking down the street with one on, because they're in a bad place right now. And I feel you, Queen Latifah, on that. But I just think that the rhythm and the cadence, the confidence, the flow, that I think is going to be, isn't there like a little dance? It goes like they do the TikTok or whatever thing, little broom dance thing. Breeze.
You know what? While we're here on TikTok, I didn't know what you were talking about. But while I got you, I just want to say to the Las Vegas Aces, home arena, I forget what it's called, whatever. You know what you're called. You guys know who you are.
Yeah.
Could you stop playing the same four TikTok songs from 3 years ago?
Oh, see,
in the same order throughout every single game you guys play.
Oh.
You're a good basketball team. I got to watch you a lot. Uh-huh. I hear dun, 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 dun. Like 80 million. It's a little stupid TikTok dances, and they weren't even good. They're not even good songs. There's good songs on TikTok.
Just over the pandemic, I learned the little broom one.
I'm done. You know, I agree. We're good. Jessica, bring out the brooms.
Oh, a whole string of them. Look at Jessica, hey, girl.
We got a few people. We got Tiger with the brooms. Oh, here we go.
We got a whole litany of broom sweepers. Okay. Everybody's doing a little.
Here's what I got. I don't want to go back to Las Vegas just because I don't want to hear more of the same TikTok music. I have had enough of that. Had enough of that for a season.
That's the only
Hopefully
reason.
We can change that next year. I think the Liberty take game four. I think they have a little bit of pride. Or game three, I'm sorry.
I was about to say, they're not going to.
I'm not saying they're gonna take game four. If they win game three, we'll try to come back and talk about game four.
Okay.
But yeah. I just think
they can win.
I think they can win. I think they can win the next two.
I think they can win, but I don't think they will.
I don't think they're gonna win the championship.
I'm gonna get in trouble.
I love y'all though.
Y'all know I love it, but that's just what I see.
Hey, I think that is the absolute best.
Yeah.
Take on the, because it's just so clear who was better and who was
not. Yeah.
But yeah. I still think that there is that the Liberty will take game three.
Yeah.
Just because of pride. they have pride, they have great players. I think there has to be a regression to the mean a little bit, like, you know, Las Vegas shot really well. They had everything going.
Okay.
Everything they tried worked.
It did.
Next game, it's not gonna work like that, right?
You don't think they're gonna shoot as well?
I think something will come back to earth. Whether the defensive effort, whether the shooting, whether the execution on offense, just something's gonna come back to earth just because that's the way humans are. You know, it's hard.
It
you
could
have to
be
fly
a championship game.
It is, but I think the other team, like I think the Liberty are just going to bring a lot of energy and effort. They're going to be at home, and I think they do have some adjustments to make.
I think that may just like that plus the regressing to the mean in terms of shooting, in terms of energy, in terms of execution, I think will bring them across. I do not think the Liberty will push it to five games. It's Dewey.
Sorry.
Dewey. What? Dewey's disagreeing with me.
Hanging out with mama.
I don't think they're going to win a game four if there is a game four. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. So I don't think it's going five, but I got them winning game three. And then I would have the ace to win game four, and that would be a lady sweep. It's called a gentleman's sweep in the NBA, so we'll call it a lady sweep. It's where you let your opponent get a game. So it's like,
go ahead.
You have your home game.
I don't think they're going to go in there with that at all, man.
I mean, it's not your mentality. It's not the mentality you have. I just think it's like the other team. I think the Aces are going to – I mean, the Liberty are going to be much better at home, and the Aces are going to be worse in game three. And then game four, all that regression to the mean resets.
Regression to the mean. See, you have all these analytical – comparisons, and I go with emotion and mentality, all the intangible little things, but I hear what you're saying, the regression to the mean and all the geometry of it all. I just don't know. But then I look at the roster and I'm looking in the eyes of Chelsea Gray, into the eyes of Plum, Wilson, Stokes, Strokes, Clark coming off the bench, man. I don't know if I see that. I think they're hungry, and Asia spoke with Cheryl Swoops, and there are just all these like emotional and tangible things that I can't take off my list of things that will quantify a back-to-back championship. I can't take those off the list. And I know they're all emotional things, but those are, to me, I think that's what drives teams in moments like this. It's the emotion of it, and like the taste of the championship that they won last year is right there, and just go get it. I don't care. And they may not play well, they may not shoot the ball as well, but they're gonna be fired up, and they're gonna be ready to win another title. And I don't think sometimes you just can't guard that level of emotion. Sometimes you can't guard it. It's a monster. Like, I don't care what defense or whatever you try to do. And they already saw what they had trouble today with. And I don't know. I just think it's like a steamroll.
Sorry, New York.
Emotional steamroll is what I'm saying.
This is a shock. This is a shock to me. I'm usually the one who's saying, you're donezo.
You really are rubbing off on me.
I know, right? I'm really rubbed off.
I'm not saying it. I got friends out here on these teams. Well, yeah,
I got one more question. Tiger asked my question.
Okay.
If they do sweep, who is the finals MVP? Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen in game three. Yeah. I think that's a really big factor in a series like this.
Yeah, great question.
But through two games, mm-hmm. who's your MVP?
Whew, God. Can we have four of them? Like,
I know.
Like, God. I don't know. It depends on what you like. It's like a Thanksgiving meal, right? It's like, what do you have more of on your plate? What do you like the most? With 11 assists, my God, you can't go wrong if she's the one. But for me, it's like, I think it's the quiet, you know, killer of Jackie Young.
Is she quiet?
I mean, when I say quiet, I'm not talking about her stats. And she did swell up on that and one.
Have you seen a thumbnail to this video?
I say quiet. Say what?
You see a thumbnail to this video? She got on the fur and the...
Oh, and the glasses.
Xenon girl, the 21st century glasses.
You did have on the Beyoncé's.
Beyonce, is that where? Okay.
That's what I call them. I don't know what.
I'm a Disney Channel kid. There's someone in here that knows Xenon girl of the 21st century, and they're going crazy. But, you know, the stunner shades, I think she's like quiet, but she's not, her actions and the way she plays and the way she acts is not quiet.
I mean, quiet because her name is never mentioned when we're talking about this team.
Not on this podcast.
Not enough. And that's
not on that, not on this podcast. Unfortunately, she is mentioned very often, just for the record.
You're right. I think, well, you know, I think that it could be her because, and again, I go by subtraction sometimes, but I think it's going to be Asia though. I think it's going to be Asia. I think it's going to be, it's Asia or Chelsea or Jackie. Darn it. I don't know.
So we narrowed it down to four of the six players who play a lot for Las Vegas. We've narrowed it down to four.
Yeah, it's just any of them. And I'm fine with any of them winning it. I'm off my bold prediction mode.
Yeah, got off immediately.
That's just gone now.
She made one and she was out.
I can't. I'm like the third three by Stokes. That was a heat check. Yeah, my third three like Stokes.
Let's, all right. Okay. MVP Chiquita's with you. She likes Jackie. Phoenix likes Asia.
Okay.
Jessica likes Asia. I mean, it's hard to go against Asia, especially when we're giving so much credit to this defense, right?
Yeah.
And she's the captain of defensive player of the year, rightfully so. She does a lot. She cleans up a lot.
Yeah.
She allows them to be as aggressive as they were.
And that was ferocious. Okay, go ahead.
Man, it's just tough. I really want to give
that it was a ferocious up and underhand. Let you know what, because the fans in Las Vegas, when she was on the free throw line, were chanting MVP. Let's just go ahead and say Asia gets it. What do you say? See, you're taking a long time, my friend.
No, this one's crazy. I mean, it has to be the real answer, the lawyer answer. If you guys were my client, I would tell you, we'll have to see.
that's a mom answer. That's what I say.
The answer to everything in law school, wherever it goes, if you guys ever go, the answer to everything in law school is, it depends, then blah, 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 blah.
That's a mom answer too. It depends.
Right, yeah, it depends, blah, 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 blah. The court is more willing to hear blah, 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 blah than the kids are. I mean, it's just hard to watch what Chelsea Gray did today. And I didn't care about the stats. She dominated the game.
She was
dominated the game.
She was vicious. But she was so tough.
Jackie's like a testament to how you should play the game of basketball, right? She cuts well. She cuts hard. She gets the ball. She makes a quick decision. She goes to the rim. She gets contact. She's strong. She's fast. She's athletic. She's graceful. She's got a good shot. She's
smart.
And then you said that, like, the best player in the world.
To her left and her right.
God. It's like you got the best player in the world.
Chelsea and Asia Long.
You get the most clutch player in the world, the best player of the world, a player who's playing the best basketball, probably the season of her career, the season out of anyone. And poor Kelsey Plum. I mean, Kelsey Plum is, she's not on. I mean, I love you, Kelsey.
Oh, but,
and you're playing great basketball.
Plum dog. Yeah. But
I can't even. Big. Like, I can't even put her in the conversation.
She's running out of the stable with like these thoroughbreds, man. All of them. I don't know. We can't go wrong, but let's just go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and.
You're going to go with Asia?
I'm going to stand on it. Asia. It makes my stomach hurt. My stomach always tightens up when I'm like bold like that. But I'm going with Asia. And you know, she's earned it to this point. After two games in this final series, you know, I'm going to go with her. Stand with me, Gabe, on that.
I'm still thinking. I do want to answer a question. From crazy LVAces fan. Do the same voters from the regular season vote for the finals MVP? I don't believe so. I believe it's the media who are in the stadium.
Yes. No, we don't.
And we got to vote. No, we vote. Yeah, we did this. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
We did this for the WNBA finals in 2019.
Yeah.
And we picked.
We were in the building. That's why. Yeah. It was in DC when the Mystics won.
Who'd I pick? I don't know if I picked EDD or Emma.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Emma won it, but man, I don't remember. I was in a daze with all that confetti falling. I had confetti stuck all the way.
I had us doing that the last time. Like, this game is too tight, man. Like, we needed to do it before, whatever.
Great. That was the anniversary yesterday of that game too.
Yeah, yeah.
Was solid.
Yeah. I saw you with our we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Let me give you my answer. I'm sorry. I'm stalling.
You are stalling. You're getting that from me, and we're rubbing off on each other.
I know, right? we have been like 100 and something episodes in. I think it's 120. I'm picking Jackie Young because I just think
not mad at it.
There's less answers for Jackie Young in New York's defense. I think they're going to work really hard to stop Asia in particular. And they're going to say, hey, we can't really do much about Jackie at this point anyways. We don't have that many good options. Yeah. So I just don't think there's going to be – I think Jackie's going to continue to get hers. So if they win game three or even if they win game four, I'm still confident in my pick that Jackie Young – will be the finals MVP.
I'm not mad at it, and I'm not going to argue with it because I you know, it could be any of them at this point. But I just think that, you know, Asia is playing with, I told you, a stack of chips on both shoulders, man. She has taken this personally. And when people take things personally, you see a different level of fire, and she's brought that to the table. And who knows what the next, you know, game or two or three will look like, but those first two games, listen, she will not be denied. And I think that's the beauty of who she is. And I saw Dawn Staley posted something tonight, and she said, this is your harvest time, or your harvest time is coming, Asia Wilson. And I was like, you know, she has that level of mentorship in her ear. Can you imagine that? Like, you have your parents, right? And you have your teammates, your coaches, like, on site. Okay, we get that. But to have your college coach be that mentor for you, steering you as a pro, someone who has Olympic, you know, gold medals falling out of every bag that she owns, in a Dawn Staley, and to have that level of confidence and confidentiality, you know, with your coach that way. She knows Asia. And the fact that she supports her, not only on the phone, you know, in the house, but, you know, publicly on social and everything like that. So, I mean, she's just in lockstep with her. And I think it's beautiful. I really love that. I love to see that tonight. It made me smile. I was like, oh, look at Dawn. Like, that, you know, that relationship is very, very sweet.
Very sweet.
And that's what coaching is all about. It's not just about the tactical side. It's about family. It's about team, right? And there,
what's the term that Dawn uses that you like?
Which one? Oh, that Dawn uses?
Dream merchant.
Dream merchant. Yes. That's what she is. But she sticks around for it. It's beautiful.
And it's lovely to see a lot of college players have that.
Absolutely.
Especially in this league where, you know, they're staying in college for longer. No offense to the men, but
yeah,
you know, you get a lot more time with the coach in women's college basketball.
Develop those relationships, man. She's known her since she was a kid, like, you know, coming in. So I just think it's a really beautiful thing. But I liked how she, you know, stepped out and said something to her, you know, your harvest time is coming. I was just like, oh, that's such a strong statement too. Like, the hope in that is so leveled up. I love it. So I don't know. It's just
we'll see if it's on when's that game? Sunday?
It is. What's today? Wednesday? Yes. So it's Wednesday. Yeah. Sunday. And that's why they were all in at the end of the game. And I think they were talking about that too. Like, both teams had their starters in late in that game, you know.
They
have time to rest. You know, usually it's a 2-day turnaround. Now they have more than that. So
I got three topics here that I want to touch on.
Okay.
Two of them are WNBA related.
Okay.
And then one of them is college basketball related. Where do you want to go first? We got to go a little rapid fire because it's getting late, but like,
oh, okay. You know, I'm a night owl. I don't care what time it is, Gabe. Yeah. Up and up.
Well, it's getting late for me.
Okay. Okay, bring it on. What do we have first? What are we going with?
Do you want college or WNBA?
Let's go WNBA.
Okay.
Just stay with that. College last.
The Chicago Sky have hired Teresa. Teresa Witherspoon, New Orleans Pelicans associate head coach. I forgot what her last title was there. She did a great job there.
Yeah. By all accounts, she's going to be the new head coach of the Chicago Sky. James Wade left midseason to go be a coach with the Toronto Raptors.
Yes.
They did make the playoffs, credit to them.
They did.
Still after that. And now they're going to go with Teaspoon as the head. There's an element of, you know, a little bit like Becky Hammon, right? Like NBA assistant coach to taking over her own WNBA franchise and coming in with all that cachet that comes with that. I think there's a similar path towards being really, really good for Teaspoon in Chicago. How do you like this hire?
I am thrilled for Teaspoon. I am thrilled for her. I am thrilled for her. I mean, this is her moment. This is her time. This is her passion, right? And she's standing in it, on it. And all the young women playing in the 12 team league, soon to be 13, possibly 14 team league, are standing on her shoulders. And this is the day of the girl, right? So there's a celebratory feel that I have for her being named to be the head coach in Chicago. Dwayne Wade is bought in. He's going to be there too. But Ka Copper, man, she's going to have such a great time playing for someone like Teaspoon. I think it's going to be really fun to watch what she does. She's going to pour into them. She's going to be a great teacher and a great leader for them. And I just think it's going to really change things for that team. I think, you know, organizationally, I think it'll be great. When I say organizationally, I'm talking about how they manage the clock, how they work together defensively. I think you're really going to see her put her handprints, footprints all over that thing, heart prints. I think she's going to put it all there for them. And, you know, she never gave in as a player. I saw a clip from some podcast she was on, All the Smoke or something, from a couple years ago. And somebody said, when you were a rookie, you know, which player kind of showed you what the league was all about? And she was like, nobody. I was like, you better say that. You better say that. Like, but that's the kind of mentality she's going to bring to the table as a head coach in the WNBA. And I just think you're going to see more and more past players come back and feed into this league. It's going to be interesting to see who's hired for the Golden State team in Bay. But just so many opportunities are there. I know that Tina Thompson is from L.A. You know, I know it's not the Bay, but it's on the West Coast. So, I mean, and I know she's working with the Portland Trailblazers. So that would be another, you know, person to come back from the WNBA coaching and being in the league on the NBA side and then coming to the WNBA. So I'm thrilled for her. I mean, she is walking in her passion. She is, I don't know, she is just such a purposeful person, and she's going to be a fantastic coach.
How about Asia Jones as a call for that Golden State team? When you mentioned Portland Trailblazers, I was like, oh.
Yeah, she's there too. Okay, Asia.
Yeah. But on Teaspoon, I'm interested to see what kind of coach she's going to be. Because I think you see Becky, she came into a very different situation where this team was – they were planning to win a championship, and they did. In her first year, and you saw her really spread out the offense and become that type of coach. I mean, point guards, they love offense. She really imbued that, but they became a really rugged defensive team as well. As we just spent most of the first half of this podcast talking about, like how good their defense was, how rugged it was, how much effort they had. So that's when I say all this, it kind of sounds like Greg Popovich, who was her boss.
I was about to
So you see that influence come down, and I'm interested to see what kind of influences Teresa's had. I mean, she was a head coach. She's been coaching in the women's game before. So she's coming back in, and I'm just interested to see what kind of coach she's going to be, what she's going to run. Does she going to favor more of an up-tempo type of thing? I'm sure she will. I mean, what coach in America has come in and said they did? Yeah, every coach in America comes in, we want to go fast.
We're ready. Let's go. Locking the ball up.
But I think they're also going to have, hopefully, even more of that rugged defensive identity. Because I think when you look at someone like a Kalia Copper, when you said Kalia Copper and Teaspoon, that's a little heck of a tandem right there in terms of mentality, in terms of dog mentality. They both have it. I think Teaspoon can even imbue it. You got Marina Mabry there. You got a squad there.
Yeah.
They're low on draft picks, so it's going to affect the long-term health.
Yeah.
But
But I do think they're going to be in good hands right now, and they're competing. They're looking to compete. So I think it's a good hire, especially with her background in player development as well. Maybe she can take some of those lower draft picks and turn them into something. But I'm excited for Teaspoon. I think it's a great hire.
Legendary for her. Legendary, like her career.
Legendary for the league. I mean, we spent some time talking about this in our last show. Like, this is the first matchup between players, former players. And, you know, hopefully Teaspoon's going to join that club. And and then there's another former player in the finals sooner rather than later. Yeah. I do want to tie up one end from last week's show. The WNBA is expanding to San Francisco. We just talked about it.
Going to the Bay, baby.
Going to the Bay. Woo, Chase Center. Steph Curry, Joe Lacob, the Golden State somethings. I don't know, mate. I wonder what they're going to call them.
I don't know. They haven't come up with that yet, though.
No,
right?
No. That's
calling them for a while. Golden State WNBA. That's their social handles.
Yeah. But I guess we'll stick with the Golden State. Yeah, the Golden State thing. I don't know.
Sure, they'll have like a poll.
Call them San Francisco. It's so annoying. Like,
I don't know. Yeah, I have to think about that because I can get creative.
San Francisco Seals. That was a hockey team.
No.
The Seals?
No.
Have you ever been to San Francisco?
I have, but we can't. Oh. They can't name them that.
They're so cute.
Zazazu to it. That's
wait, so let's see. We gotta keep. We can't name this team right now. I need more time. Not Seals. Okay, Seals is off the board.
Not on the board.
If you have Seals on your board, take it off.
Get it off here. We're not doing that. That's what we're not gonna do. Okay, go ahead.
San Francisco, come up with a name. Put it in the comments. Whoever has a good comment. So we'll circle back to this. If everyone watching wants to give us a name for the San Francisco team, it could be a Golden State or San Francisco. I don't care. And now the college basketball topic that I want to get to. Very important. Caitlin Clark. Your girl.
That's my dog now.
That's your dog.
CC. Let's go. CC.
Said she's treating this year as if it's her last in college basketball.
I know.
That doesn't necessarily mean she's leaving.
It doesn't.
But it does mean that seems to be her intent.
Very interesting.
Very interesting for next year's draft class. It kind of changes how I was thinking about the draft class. I was like, I think Caitlin's going back, but we shall see. Now that she said that, though, how are you feeling?
I feel that could be a possibility. I mean, she has... you know, so many NIL deals, you know, with Nike and State Farm and all these other things, which could easily, I think, I don't know how it all works when you transfer from college to pro and the deals that you have with these companies, I don't think they would go away, right? I think she would still deal with these companies. So it's not like, well, she better stay in there and keep those NIL deals. Well, I think she might keep them, but I have to investigate and find out exactly business-wise how that works. So I mean, that would be the only reason for her to come back again after this year, I would think. But if it's a financial decision that she's making, I mean, she's always going to have the heart to play for Iowa. I mean, she's going to always want that. So that's not up for questioning. But
and being a college is awesome.
Yeah. The college town. And
college is awesome.
Yeah. And I was just at the, you know, Big Ten Media Days the last 2 days at Minneapolis on Monday and Tuesday this week. And she's just so engaging to the media and she knows who she is. And when I say she knows who she is, she understands her role, not only for Iowa, but for women's basketball as a whole. Mm-hmm. And she has a tremendous amount of respect for both. And you hear that every time she speaks. And I'm not just saying that because I've covered her since freshman year. I'm not. I am saying that with an organic observation of who she is as a person. And I think she cares so much about Iowa. She cares so much about women's sports. She said she played every single sport, you know, when she was growing up. You know, soccer was one of the main things, which is why she's very shifty and has a great eye with her passes because of her soccer skills. Yeah. So, I mean... you know, she's a staunch competitor and obviously has that fire in her belly to compete. So when you have the opportunity coming up this weekend, which I'll be at this game, breaking news here. I will be at the game in Cynic in the football stadium. We're going to
be
calling this game. And Gabe, let me tell you this.
It's going to be cold.
I know, 55 degrees. I'm trying to figure out what's
wearing. Oh, that's not that bad.
I don't like being cold. But anyway, but I'll warm myself up. I'll layer it up. I'll hook it up something. I don't know. But it's outside in the football field, on the football stadium. And they're going to convert the football field into a basketball floor, much like the Nebraska volleyball that had over 92,000 people fill the stadium. Right now, I've heard today we had a call, a production call, and it's close to 60,000 tickets that have been sold already for that game. Wow. And so high 50s. It was 48 on Monday, but then today it's you know, continuing to balloon. So they're playing DePaul, and it's going to be outside. And after the first quarter, they're going to do what the football team does after every first quarter, which is wave at the hospital. And this is going to make me cry, but Gabby Marshall.
You don't stand a chance.
Oh, I'm going to be done. But Gabby Marshall, Caitlin Clark, and Hannah Stolke were the three athletes there for the media day on Monday. And I asked them, hey, what do you think that's going to feel like? And Gabby Marshall was like, you know, it's going to be amazing. We get to wave to the hospital, the children's hospital that's right there, that all the kids are going to be in the window. And it's really going to be special because we've only been at the stadium and the football team does it. And we get a chance to do it. And Caitlin Clark was like, you know, I think it's amazing for women's sports. Nebraska had it with volleyball. And then that's when she said, I played all these different sports. So it's really going to be an opportunity to show women's athletics the respect that it's due. And then we get to Hannah, and Hannah says, you know what, it's going to be really special because we give those kids hope. And then she started crying, and then I was done. I was like clutching pearls here. And I, you know, because I only asked, like, what does it mean to you? And then that's what it meant to her, that, you know, these terminally ill babies are going to be in the window, and they get to serve them up a piece of joy in that moment. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm not going to make it through that. But just to hear it from these young women, you know, they were sitting there in a trio, and they said that, you know, all different perspectives, but all of them very meaningful. And, you know, just that it brought Hannah Stolke to tears in that moment was everyone was kind of like, you know, we didn't know what to do. You know, I was like, well, that they really feel deeply and genuinely love their opportunity to impact more than just basketball, which is why I have the shirt on today. What is it?
Bigger than basketball. There it is.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what it is. That's what it is. And I think it's going to be so much fun. I'll be there with Mike Hall and Megan McEwen Wallace. She just got married, so she has 100 names like me now.
Oh.
So she's going to be, Megan's on sidelines. Doug Bruno, obviously the coach for DePaul, who always does charity games for autism. They play against Northwestern. Joe McEwen is Megan's dad, and her brother Joe's son also has autism. So there's like this collective support system for always being able to reach out in the community. And this game is for charity. It doesn't count for wins, losses for either team. It's like a preseason game, but proceeds from ticket sales will go to the hospital for those kids. So it's just going to be an all around great opportunity to be in an environment of caring. And that's what we need in this world. Again, it's bigger than basketball, way bigger than basketball. And there's so many things going on in the world right now that are so sad and terrifying. But to be in a place of peace like that, and to know that you're impacting babies and families in a positive, healthy, nurturing, loving way is what it's all about. So I'm looking forward to it greatly. And it'll be a lot of fun to be involved in that broadcast on Big Ten Network. I'll put that out there.
So it's Big Ten Network on Sunday.
Sunday at in Iowa, obviously. Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting. I was just reading the article there. It's gonna be interesting because Caitlin was like, "There's gonna be some air balls."
I know. She said it depends on how windy it is. How, I mean, volleyball's different because you can put some force on it, but yeah, that once it leaves, it can go any kind of way. So.
You know, I guess volleyball too, but you know, I think
basket layups.
How much is wind gonna affect the?
I mean, as long as
the ball doesn't go up that high in volleyball.
Right. As long as it's not a double rim, they'll be all right, I think.
But you know, hey, look, they're doing it for an amazing cause. It's an amazing idea. I think it's going to look great. I actually really like Kinnick Stadium. It's somewhere I've always wanted to go.
Yeah.
I hope it's not cold. That would suck.
I think it's supposed to be 55, which isn't too bad.
You're going to have
a hat and I might have my coat on.
You're going to have a weird time calling this game. I don't know if you know this.
I just hope football stadium. It's too windy.
But although it doesn't, I mean, you're behind the glass, but you're like, you're going to be far now.
Oh, we're going to be up there. Oh, you're right. Oh, I'll be fine. Thank you for that. I forgot. I don't know why I was thinking.
They can't put you in football out there in the elements. They did that to me one time. At a school that shall not be named.
Oh, we're going to be up in the glass.
At a school that shall not be named, that I went to the cover a football game, they put me on top of the roof of the press box because there was not enough room. And it was a very cold day in the region in which I was, and it was very cold rain. Oh. And so I was like, I'm out of here. I was up there for a quarter.
Well, lightning, you're on the top of that thing.
There wasn't lightning. Until later. I think there was lightning after I left. But I left. I was like, I'm nuts.
See, that's
nuts. And they ain't paying me enough to be up there now.
Well, I hope it doesn't rain. That's the one thing. But I think if it does, though, they're going to move it into Carver. If it rains, that's the backup. But which is obviously right there on campus. But must not even speak that into existence. But it's supposed to be nice. I think the weather is supposed to hold off for us. So. But I think it's going to be a wonderful event and, just to be a part of that.
They should stick a double rim out there.
No, thanks, man. Double rims are the worst, but they do help you. But you know, if you're not used to them, that's not it's not pretty hoops.
Rim concrete court.
Yeah.
The ball that no one wants.
I know, with all the treads off of it. Oh, yeah. I miss those days. Hooping outside with the double rim.
I think it'd be a fun thing to do, but I think that is going to be awesome. Looking forward to listening to your call. I did not know that was happening on. I can't believe it's this Sunday.
I know, early. It's the first. It tips off women's basketball. That's like, that's what we're going to be talking about.
Because the season's underway in less than a month.
Yeah, less than a month.
We're going to have to quickly transition over to previewing women's college basketball.
I know. I just did my first votes for college basketball this week. Yeah, top 20.
I'm putting together my votes.
Yeah,
we'll do a preview of our two conferences, the ACC and the Big Ten.
Oh yeah, we will.
I'm not sure. I don't think we're gonna be able to get to all of them.
Oh, I know.
I think we can get to the first two.
Yeah, we will definitely do it. We'll do it piecemeal, like we always do. Get through all.
And if the Aces win on Sunday, we got a lot more time to talk about whatever we want. Aces. If you want to take care of it, get the sweep, we can start talking about college basketball. But Christy, I think I'm about ready to go to bed.
Time for night for you. Okay, we'll send you on out of here, Gabe. It's time to go to bed. Okay, hey you guys, listen, this is so much fun. Post game live right here, courtside on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network with Courtside Christy and Gabe. We'll be back next week to probably be talking about a sweep, but we don't know. I mean, New York may come with
it just because Christy predicted it.
I know, for a change. We'll see if I'm right. Or if Gabe is right, we may extend to a 4 or 5 game series with these two great teams, the Aces and the Liberty. But until then, take care, be safe, watch the game on Sunday. It's going to be historical. And love on your folks, people. We'll see you guys next time. For Gabe Ibrahim, I'm Christy Winter Scott. Bye-bye now. Love.
Bye. Goodbye.